Thanks for listening to the Campus Collective podcast. As always, we pray that this resource is a helpful supplement for you as a follower of Jesus and as an active member in your local church. We love God's design for His church, and we believe that this resource could never substitute the incredible things that come from active involvement with a community of believers. Campus Collective is a ministry of Huntington Community Church. To learn more, visit our website at huntingtoncommunitychurch.com.
Hello, and welcome back to our podcast series, 95 Meditations Through Colossians with Campus Collective. I'm your host, Andrew O'Callaghan, and I'm here today with my guest, Tyler Corbin. Tyler, what do you have to share with us today?
Wow. Did not expect that.
That's from our live studio audience. We're actually recording right now in a live studio right now.
We are. All right, stop. Thank you.
That's enough, everybody.
Now, today we are going to be continuing, and we're going to be in Meditation or Truth number 68, which is found in Colossians 3, verse 14, and I've titled it, Love Binds Everything Together in Perfect Harmony. So, let's read verse 14. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. So, when I first read that, and it talks about how important love is, especially when we're talking in context about putting on the new self and putting off the old. This is saying that above everything else that we need to put on when we're putting on the new self, love is that thing. And so I think that's super important that we get right what love is. And so, and not love in a cultural understanding or a secular understanding of what love is, because people will obviously define that differently, but we want to have a good understanding of what the Bible defines love as, and I think that 1 Corinthians chapter 13 does a great job of giving us a look into what biblical love is and how it could lead to perfect harmony if we're able to love like this. And so, according to 1 Corinthians 13, this is what love is. It's patient, it's kind, love doesn't envy, it doesn't boast, it's not arrogant, it's not rude, it's unselfish, it's not irritable, it's not resentful, it doesn't rejoice at wrongdoing, it does rejoice with truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things, and love never ends. And so, in looking at each one of those things individually, love encompasses every single one of those attributes inside of itself when done well. These aren't just independent things that exist outside of love. Like, if you're patient, it should be flowing out of love for somebody. Mm-hmm. The same with kindness. And these are also things that are found in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 that we see in the text that we've been looking through in Colossians chapter 3. And so in verses 12 and 13, we see things like, we see kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another. And so these are things that are going back and forth between Colossians and Corinthians as being pictures of what love is. And so in looking at this, we see a perfect picture of this love lived out through Christ's life and even his death on the cross. And so when we look at Christ, we see patience from him. We see kindness from him. He was never envious or boastful. He was never arrogant or rude, never unselfish. He endured everything, even unto death on a cross for us. And just as love is never ending, like so is Christ, like he is eternal. And it's just so interesting that love also is eternal. And especially in the context of this verse where it talks about, and above all these put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And I think about, obviously, if we as a church body or as people would love each other in this way, it's pretty easy to see like how amazing that community would be to live in if everybody was doing these things and loving in this way and nobody was rejoicing at wrongdoing and everybody was rejoicing with truth and bearing all things with each other and enduring everything unselfishly for the sake of everybody else. Like, you see, that could be a beautiful community to live in. And I don't know. It just seems impossible to see that happening on this earth, mm-hmm. this temporary earth, but it gives us hope looking forward to eternity with Christ, where this is going to be possible. And that's because Christ, who is love, is going to be there, and he's the person who exemplifies all these things. And like I said, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we see that love never ends. And so that is also going to continue into eternity with us. We're eternally going to be loving each other. And sin's not going to be there to ruin that or taint that love that we have.
Yeah, you know, and I think that one of the fascinating realities with the world, and I think that 1 Corinthians 13 also hits on this well, is that there is a sense in which you can possess virtue absent of love. So you might look, and we all have friends who are without Christ, who might be in some ways more compassionate than we are. They're very kind people and such. So the question might become then, why, if we believe these are sort of attributes of Christians given us by the Holy Spirit, how come people without the Holy Spirit can exemplify such virtues? And I think what we realize here from Colossians is that only when these things are bound together in perfect harmony by love can these virtues be pure. Because absent of love, all of these virtues are corrupted by selfish ambition. So put in other words, whenever we are compassionate without love, we do so for ourselves. We are compassionate to people that we might ourselves receive compassion in return. Our relations are reciprocal. We are only kind in a sense to those who are kind to us, or to get something out of it, or maybe to inflate our own image before people to make ourselves seem kind. Only when our virtue, if you will, is bound together by love, and love as Corinthians defines it, as the scripture defines it, as embodied by Christ, is completely unselfish. It does not regard the self. It regards always foremost the neighbor, the other person in God, above oneself and as oneself, in the sense that we always seek their own good and interest. And so only when our compassion is not self-seeking is it bound by love. Only when our patience is not rooted in reward promised ahead can that be bound together by love. And this is sort of the harmonizing principle for that exact reason.
Yeah, and I think for us applying this going forward, if you're thinking, like, how do I do this better? I think for us, it's just looking at what biblical love is and seeing where you aren't maybe doing this well, when you're going to probably be able to find multiple ways that you're not loving well. Like, for me, I see myself on this list looking at the list of things I've written down from 1 Corinthians chapter 13 of what love is, that I do a really poor job of doing well. And that is seeing that as hindering harmony and everything being bound together in perfect harmony in a community of believers. Like, that's on me to repent of and try and love my brother and sister better. They're doing that well. And so I think if we're all doing that, I think that's what we should be doing. And I think that's part of our sanctification and our looking like Christ and putting on the new self. So I think that's just our application going forward for me, and hopefully for anybody else listening that feels like they're struggling at loving their neighbor well.
Absolutely. Tyler, I appreciate we shared this on the podcast today, and I want to end kind of with an admonition, kind of bouncing off of Tyler's application there for us. You know, every time we talk about love, we hear passages like 1 Corinthians 13. It has a danger, I guess, of sounding very cliche or overspoken of to our ears. But we really ought to recognize that the love that Scripture speaks of, the sort of love that Jesus embodied in his time on earth and that he continues to embody eternally, it's not easy. We, as we grow in our faith, recognize our own capacity for self-seeking, our own capacity for self-interest. And there's also sort of a freedom. This is kind of the law of love. It says that, like, it binds things together in perfect harmony. We're free to not simply follow a bunch of rules, which Paul says aren't useful for stopping the indulgence of the flesh. We're free rather to be obedient slaves to love, right? We're obedient slaves to Christ and to do everything that love demands and nothing that it does not. And so this is sort of our law, right? The law of love. What does love demand that I give my neighbor? And I will always be obedient. I am a servant to love in that regard, as was Christ and as we are servants also of Christ. So let's be free in that truth today, that love frees us from rule following to be obedient to love our neighbors in a way that is meaningful and bound together in perfect harmony. Thanks for tuning into the podcast today, and I hope you'll join us tomorrow as we continue through our journey. And there's the studio audience again. Thank you, Tyler. Wow. You know, maybe tomorrow we'll have some laughs and get a little laugh track in there. Maybe some booze. Who knows? Maybe we got to get a little, like, heresy in the background there. But I appreciate it. I hope you guys hear from us again tomorrow.